and the man of steel. How's Greenland look from there? Did you spot great, a place baby. For us?
I did. I got a fjord set up just for you.
Now, the question is, because, you know, the president would, if he got Greenland, Michael Steele, he'd have to change the flag, right? 51st state, one would imagine.
Well, he wouldn't make it a state. He'd make it a territory.
Oh, they doesn't have to change the
it
flag.
It would be Puerto Rico. But since he wants to swap Greenland for Puerto Rico, it would be an even exchange.
Oh gosh, I can't believe that we're talking about this.
All right, Trixie,
you would go from summers on the beach to winters. Period.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Picking up gemstones in the ashen soil. Yeah. I don't.
Yes, exactly.
I gotta say that with a week like this, you know, one really does wonder if there are people around him at the White House. I know there's always people who are like, you know, kind of leaking. They obviously, you know, Fox News gets, you know, the official statement from the White House, and then they go with it. And then there's people that are, you know, running out on the lawn and telling stuff to the other producers and reporters who are encamped there that get these other things, right? Because they're not just making the stuff up. You get fired for doing that. That's the truth. So your colleagues at NBC and at CNN and all the rest, they're being told, oh, well, the president was floating this thing about Greenland, but he didn't really mean it. And then the next thing you know, he's canceling a visit over it. It makes you wonder if they think he's crazy.
Well, there's more and more evidence to suggest that folks inside the White House, and I put this in the terms that they use, so it's quote, are concerned about his behavior, end quote. There is an increasing sense that there's more going on here than is publicly addressed or being publicly addressed. And I think that this week, look, I just put it, this is where I am. And look, your audience, I think, has kind of gotten the flavor of how I roll at this point. So here's the straight up shot to it. How much more of this crap are you going to take? How much more are you going to put up with? We now have our G7 partners saying, you know what? With Trump in town, we're just not even going to bother putting out a statement. We're just going to go do our thing, and Trump can do whatever he's going to do when he gets to Europe. You've got a pure straight-up affront to one of our closest allies. I mean, people don't even appreciate that Denmark is one of the few countries that has been with us from the very beginning of our military engagements in the Middle East. So this is not just some fly-by-night relationship. It stands up there with Great Britain and Australia in terms of its commitment to supporting the United States. Mm-hmm. So you have then layer on top of that now, Jews apparently can't vote their conscience. They have to vote Republican, or more specifically, they have to vote for Trump, or otherwise they're somehow being unfaithful and
disloyal.
And they're stupid. Yeah, they're disloyal and stupid.
I mean, that's the thing. So, let me stop you. I got to stop you.
How much
because,
more is she going to take, folks?
Well, that's the. I mean, the word he really did use the word disloyal, and I know there's a lot of people reading into that more than maybe the president intended. But the point is that this isn't about political loyalty. Faith is not about political loyalty. And that's where governments
in his worldview it is.
Well, but
he gloms evangelicals and all of that in that same bucket.
Right.
And so the loyalty question is very clear. It was loyalty to Netanyahu as the prime minister of Israel, or to Israel itself. It was loyalty to Donald Trump.
Right.
Keep in mind, let's not get it twisted. Everything in the universe focuses around the sun. Oh, excuse me, the chosen one, and that is him.
Oh God. Hey, I. You know,
his words, not mine. By the way,
I know. We don't need to make up words. He gives us all. He gives us all the best words. I remember that. There's so much to be said about that particular item, but I just it kind of chills me to my core that we are at a moment where I'm listening to, I was just mentioning a little earlier, just out of a lark, I watched Good Night and Good Luck again last night. That movie's like 16 years old, but it takes place, right? It's about Murrow, Edward R. Murrow, taking on the McCarthy and Roy Cohen, who was the Trump's attorney, right? And what they went through, and what he went through as a journalist taking them on, and how much pressure there was against him to do what it is. It's worth going back and taking a look at that movie again. It's on Netflix, because there are so many parallels to what's happening now. It's shocking, and it is when I saw that, I thought to myself when I first saw it in the early 2000s, I thought, wow, what kind of a crazy time was America going through? I'm so glad America's not there anymore. And this is even worse, because I got to tell you, that Joseph McCarthy was absolutely playing patty cake rhetorically compared to what the president is doing.
Right. And keep in mind, Mr. McCarthy was a member of Congress. He's a United States senator, we're talking about the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Yeah, big difference, right?
Huge difference. If Dwight Eisenhower was engaged in such behavior as president, okay, that escalates this to a whole nother level at that time. But here we are now, post-Cold War, post-Iraq War, post-Vietnam, post-World War II, where our relationships and we have, been able to defeat our adversaries in many respects. And you have a president who still looks at the world through that particular lens and how he characterizes some of our partners, most of our partners in the European theater, how he characterizes the relationship between the United States and Israel, and specifically the whole loyalty piece. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very different environment, and I think Americans have to, despite how fortunate and happy they are that they now bring home an extra $50 a week in their paycheck from that massive tax cut that they received, the fact that they rest better at night because, there's a Justice Gorsuch and a Justice Kavanaugh on the bench with the promise of at least one more to come, that they have to evaluate whether the price that we're currently paying is worth all of that.
Right.
Because this, to your point, is not about the politics anymore. It's about something that's more important, and that's us. So,
Michael, can I ask you about this idea that the Republicans might mount a challenger, a serious challenger
to Donald Trump?
Baby. Today we have the news that Joe Walsh, radio host here, is mounting potentially his campaign Monday of next week or something. And I think a lot of people look at that and say, well, very doubtful that he'd be able to get
or
support needed to challenge him. But we have heard this from other Republicans. I mean, the rumors are out there. Scaramucci's going on every show possible saying, hey, we're going to find someone moderate within the party to launch a serious campaign against Donald Trump. Is that going to happen, do you think?
Yes, I think it is. Uh-oh. I think that we need to dial back off of our conventional wisdom in this regard, because under a conventional set of facts, the idea of challenging an incumbent president would be silly. The likelihood of it even getting off the ground would not be something that any consultant or a media person or campaign manager would really want to waste their reputation. They take the check, but they wouldn't want to waste their reputation in doing that. But this is different. This is an opportunity that's driven not by the conventional thinking, but by a number of other things. One, in starting with where the president is currently sitting in national polling with the American people. His approval is at the lowest it has been, period, 36%.
Yeah. It'll go down in the next one, too, because of this week was not good. This week makes him look crazy.
Absolutely.
But will Republicans back? He's still in the 80s with Republicans, though.
Well, it doesn't move. Okay, so let me ask you this. Which is a bigger number, 80% of 10 or 80% of 1,000?
Oh, I was never good at math.
Oh, gee.
Okay, so it's 80% of 1,000, right? All right?
Yes.
But my point is, everyone likes to throw around this number. Oh, it's 80% of Republican base of support. That is a shrinking number, my friend.
Yeah, but he's got to get out of the primary. Who can do this in the primary?
But this is not the point. Okay, so I give you 1980. I give you 1992. Kennedy versus Carter and Ross Perot versus George Bush. So you can get – it's not a question at this point of getting out of the primary. What Joe Walsh, for example, is talking about and looking at is – the idea of actually becoming the nominee, yeah, that is a quixotic effort. No doubt about it. We know that.
Well, but he's got it. Listen, he's crazier than Trump. We know him. He literally a couple of years ago on New Year's Eve was his tweet was Obama's a Muslim. Happy New Year.
That was it.
He
understood.
I mean,
got it.
Yeah,
like crazy with crazy, baby. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I almost believe that Trump's running him to keep a legit guy out.
But he's not the only one. Mark Sanford, former governor of South Carolina, former member of Congress, is looking at it. You already got Bill Weld there. Here's the point.
Why can't somebody big do it?
Well, someone big may do it. In fact, the former governor of Ohio, John Kasich, is now revisiting this idea.
Okay.
Why? Because of the first point I made. The numbers for the president are soft. And when I was talking about the 80 versus 800, the fact is that the base of the Republican Party is shrinking. It's not expanding. That number is there are fewer and fewer Americans, A, identifying themselves as Republican. And B, yes, that pool of voters who will go to a primary hall and vote, whether it's a caucus or a polling place, that number is also shrinking. So it opens up the platform for a different conversation that now could see the incumbent being challenged. And the third point is that's been a sort of an okay thing. I mean, it's not like, you know, we're against the idea of having the primary system, but here's where the problem comes for the GOP, and it's the RNC, because the RNC is now a bought and paid for subsidiary of the Trump campaign. It should not be, because it has to provide resources for those candidates who challenge in a primary as they would for any incumbent in said primary. So that's going to create a real ticklish moment and a potential lawsuit for the RNC if these candidates get in and when they request certain services and resources that are readily available under the auspices of the RNC to the Trump campaign, and they're denied that. That could be a problem.
Yeah.
So there are levels here that are going to be interesting to watch over the next few.
Let me ask you, Michael Steele, has Anthony Scaramucci reached out to you
about what?
About this, about coalescing this group of people.
Well, no, not about coalescing this group of people. We have not talked about that, but he and I have talked about the broader concept for some time. Yeah.
Do you believe, we're short on time here, so I'm going to run right with this question. Do you believe that there will be high-profile former members of the Trump cabinet or administration that will come out and criticize him publicly?
No.
And why not?
Well, you know why I say that? Because the ones who've already left have not done so. So why would a current sitting member who's been silent given everything else that's transpired suddenly find, you know, their courage stuck?
Safety
in
numbers?
Post? What numbers? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I
don't see that.
All right.
I would be surprised if that happened because it has not happened yet. And you have members of the United States Congress who have less at stake in that regard than those cabinet secretaries do in terms of going back into business and having the president his ire against them.
Yes.
So they haven't said anything.
This is a yes or no question.
Oh,
are you
sure
now or have you ever considered running for president of the United States?
I am not running for president of the United States. No, I'm not running.
That's the correct answer. All right, thank you very much, Michael Steele.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Man of Steel!
gosh. When is he going to... He's going to one day just say he's not coming on a show anymore. It's crazy intro music.
Probably true. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?